you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Can't we all just get along?
I don't know. I'm hoping we can.
That's why I continue to pursue this topic with people. The current divide between liberals and conservatives, it's pretty wide. And I'm hoping we can all just stop, take a moment, take a breath, and begin to see each other as humans, as people. Hopefully, see beyond the left and the right and all of our differences. Just hoping there are enough of us out there who are willing to be open to one another, no matter what, without judgment, and just listen to each other. So today I'm talking to Lane Morris, a wonderful actress and lifelong liberal. Lane definitely has her opinions, and she owns them as hers. They come from a place that is genuine and heartfelt. So, let's get into it. Thanks for tuning in. This is You May Have Seen, Conversations for Change. Here we go. It's been 56 years.
That's a commitment.
That's crazy.
No, I think
that's
great.
Crazy. No,
I think it's great.
It's a modern day miracle. You don't see that.
I mean, I would not mind finding somebody that I could stand for that long.
Right. Unfortunately, that'll never be an option now.
No.
I don't think I have 56 years left.
I'm not living to 109.
Man, oh man. Well, first of all, hi. Thanks so much for coming and doing this. I really, really appreciate it because this is different. I had a couple people say, are you only going to talk to conservatives? And at first, that's what I was going to do because I'm interested in what's going on in their heads, mm-hmm. where they're coming from, where their stance is, why it is the way that it is.
This is why I tune into Fox and One American Network every now and then, because I want to know the perspective. And what I'm seeing, because I'm now an MSNBC junkie.
Yeah.
And I mean junkie.
Okay.
And sometimes CNN, but I will flip over to Fox and flip over to One American Network because I want to know what the other side is seeing. And let me just tell you, just like your Facebook feed is seeing something totally different than mine, those two networks are definitely giving totally different news.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's interesting. And that's one of the things, well, one, just like I said to Mike, I don't watch MSNBC. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch any of them for that reason. It's, you know, because one, the information is going to get to me anyway, no matter what. There's no way to avoid it. Again, Lane Morris, the reason why I wanted to have these conversations, because Mike asked after we were done, he was like, are you going to talk to any liberals? He said, because I would be interested to hear what they have to say.
Sure.
You know, even being from the same side as you anyway. And that's the whole thing. That word in itself. Side, my side, your side. I'm right, you're wrong.
Right.
I feel like there's so much of that, and I, you know, and I'm wondering, is it possible for us to relate to the opposing side, for lack of a better term, and still be able to deal with each other as human beings in order to make progress together? Because we have to.
Well, I think part of the reason that we are so divided is that the issue, we've become an issue-based political system, right? So the right is, from my perspective, because I'm on the left, y'all, totally on the left. So what I'm seeing from the right is Christian values, family values, anti-abortion. And I say anti-abortion as opposed to pro-life because, in my opinion, it is not pro-life. It is pro-birth. An anti-abortion, because once the child is born, the right, as I see it, does not promote any social systems that support the child once it's born, or support the teenage mother who had it, who had the child, or support the psychology that the psychological help. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry, that woman who was just raped or had a child through an abusive relationship and had to have that child. You know, it doesn't matter why somebody chooses to have an abortion. That is their business. And if you don't have a uterus, it's not your business. And if it's not your uterus, it's not your business. And that is my opinion. A lot of people don't subscribe to that.
Right.
What I don't understand from the right is how it is that you say it's Christian values, it's family values, and yet you're supporting someone who has broken every commandment in public. I don't get that. Like, I really don't get that. It has become in my mind cultish.
Right.
So, but the issue basis, the issues are so strong. And so that's what's going on the right. Then on the left, mm-hmm. you've got my right to choose. Mm-hmm. I don't want children in cages. Mm-hmm. Immigrants matter. Black lives matter. Mm-hmm. All of those things from the left. And I keep seeing posts that say, after the election's over, we'll all become friends. We'll all just put it all aside and become friends. Well, as a gay woman mm-hmm. and as a woman, period, mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that I want to be friends with someone who thinks that my rights don't matter.
Right.
And that's where I get, you cannot opine about my rights. How dare you? And mm-hmm. that's where I feel about that. And that's where the big divide happens for me. I don't know how it comes back together. I'm not opinionated at all, by the way.
Do you have any interest in trying to talk to and connect to and relate to and finding some common ground or...
I'm glad you asked that question. Yes. So I've had lots of conversations with people who identify as Republican who mm-hmm. say, well, I mean, no, I don't believe in that, meaning I don't believe that children should be in cages and I don't mm-hmm. believe that that the right to have an abortion should be taken away, mm-hmm. but I don't want to pay more taxes and it's all about money. Sure. Well, you can't choose money over people. And here's what's happening that is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Right now, what you're seeing on the right is Biden's going to raise your taxes. Mm-hmm. If you listen to him, mm-hmm. what he says is, if you're making over $400,000, right. we're going to raise your taxes.
Right.
Well, I don't know about you, but I know about four people who make more than that mm-hmm. personally. And the people who are saying, but my taxes, but my money, they're not making that much sure. money. So it's really not going to affect them.
Right.
It's rhetoric.
Exactly. So that's why I'm trying to continue to focus on the human aspect of it.
Then. Right.
The rhetoric is one thing, but when you get into a room face to face, just like this,
yeah.
okay, remove the microphones
right.
and let's just talk. So I want to focus this more
Go
on
ahead,
you.
Tell me.
Okay. Well, not even tell you, I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. So where does this, one, do you have any conservative friends? Do you have many conservative friends?
So I grew up with a woman whose husband is so conservative that now she is.
Okay.
They are evangelical Christians.
Okay, fine.
Growing up, she was like my sister. Mm-hmm. I check in on her every now and then, mm-hmm. but I can't have a political conversation. And everything defers to her husband, and it's just a different world. It feels right. like The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
It's so very different.
Right.
And when I try to have a conversation, what I recognize is she's not watching the news. She's not informed. All of her information's coming through him. I have worked with people who are super conservative. Uh-huh. One of my favorite people that I worked with was a wife of a minister. And we were riding up to, this was when I did retail, and we were riding up to another store one day. She was in my car. And I said, so tell me how you feel being, because she's super, super Christian. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you feel about homosexuality, because mm-hmm. she knows I'm gay. And mm-hmm. she says, well, it's just a sin like any other. And it's just so hard for me, because if you believe that Jesus is basically love, then mm-hmm. and love is what the, you know, that's the tenet that Christianity is supposed to be built on,
right.
then how is loving another person wrong?
Right.
But that I can mm-hmm. I can mm-hmm. totally get down with, because she's my age, and I'm, for those who don't know me, I'm in my 50s, and you know, we grew up in a different time, and mm-hmm. it wasn't open, and everybody wasn't free love and all that, mm-hmm. and so that's how she was raised, and that's what she believes. I'm okay with that, because I don't feel persecuted. Mm-hmm. I'm not okay with the first one that I was talking about. Her husband is very racist. And I left their house when I was in my 20s because he was spouting the N-word. Mm-hmm. And it was all about somebody cutting him off in traffic. And when I said, you mean the asshole? He says, no, I mean the, and I can't even say the
right.
word. But and he's like, well, there are white ones too. And I'm like, you cannot use a word that disparages an entire race of people yeah. for cutting you, for one person cutting you off in traffic. That mm-hmm. guy's a dick. He's not
Right.
The other.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't stop, and I just left his house. Yeah. So I can care, but I can't really be that close. It depends on where the lines are drawn, right?
Right.
So if it's about my rights as a gay woman, whatever. You know, I mean, you're not in my bed, it doesn't matter, right? But when it comes to like oppressing different races, mm-hmm. and keeping immigrant children in, mm-hmm. cages, I cannot get down with that.
Right.
So.
So okay. So then, in the case with your friend who has the very conservative and racist husband, so then does it come from a place that I guess is, when I say fear?
It's fear.
Okay.
It's fear. It's about feeling. Well, this is what I observed. Now I don't know this because I'm not in his body and I'm not a psychologist.
Right. Right.
But I think that all bigotry comes from fear. I think it's fear of not being good enough, fear, mm-hmm. of not being the best,
right.
feelings of unworthiness, and therefore we have to bring other people down with us.
Right.
There has to be somebody less than, mm-hmm. you know?
Okay, so again, I'm going to keep pointing it. I'm going to
go
keep
ahead,
making
point
you
at
the
me.
Point. So,
point at me.
So what are you afraid of in that situation? Like, what makes you... Cause
then they came for me.
That then they came from you, came for
then
you.
They, so you know that whole thing, then they came for me.
Yeah.
So it's all about the Holocaust, right? And right. my fear is for people that I love, mm-hmm. my neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my neighbors is African-American, and election night when they were counting votes,
right.
I went over and she was lit because she couldn't handle the anxiety.
Yeah.
And we were watching the results and talking, and she said that her brothers in Virginia said, if he's elected, get in the car and drive to us. We are armed. They're not armed to start something. They're armed to defend because they were terrified of a civil war. That's my fear.
Yeah. And that's why I'm trying to, I mean, I know what my anxiety and fear comes from and is based, you know, is based in, and I'm sure it might be similar for a lot of people. But you have to think that, you know, again, on their side, there's just as much fear. There's things that they're afraid of.
I'm telling you, when you watch the other side, mm-hmm. the other news,
yeah.
it's amazing. The Democrats are out to get them.
Okay, so I guess with all the misinformation that's out there, because, don't you think, and I said the same thing to Mike, and I'll say it to you, don't you think that ultimately, at the end of the day, we all want the same fucking thing? We all want the same things.
Within our household, yes. We all want to be loved. We all want to have shelter and food and comfort. The difference is, from, again, my perspective, mm-hmm. is that I want that for myself, and I also want it for others. And I don't necessarily want it at the expense of others.
Right.
And I don't believe that if you take a Republican individually and ask them, hey, do you want to deny everybody rights? That they would say, yeah, absolutely. I want to be the only person with rights. But especially white men, and I really don't understand this as I talk to a white man, so many feel so disenfranchised.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
No, so this is what I hear, uh-huh. okay? And this is when I have conversations with white right-winged men.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new tongue twister for us to
sure.
use. Acting
yes,
exercise. It is. The immigrants take my job.
Mm-hmm.
The black people take my job. Mm-hmm. Affirmative action has taken my job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, these people who are saying this to me, mm-hmm. are not looking for the jobs that the immigrants are taking.
Mm-hmm.
And if affirmative action is wrong, I don't think it's wrong. I think that we never made any reparations. So, and here we are, you know, way into it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a big problem.
Yep.
So how do you go backwards? So if we had made reparations when the population was what it was,
mm-hmm.
it might have changed things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are we? And how do we make reparations? But these men are like, you know, I have to work to support my family, and black people are taking my jobs, and the Hispanic people are taking my jobs. They're not taking your job.
Mm-hmm. You're from the South.
I am from this. Can you not hear it?
Well, no, I know that. But I mean,
were you from
Charlotte? Yes. Born and raised? Yeah, you're
I was,
Charlottean.
Well, I was born in Raleigh, raised in Charlotte. I've lived in Pennsylvania and Miami and New York.
Okay. Okay. But your foundation
is Southern.
Is Southern.
Oh, I'm Southern to the core. Yeah.
What was it like Has it always been this way for you? Have you always been a loony left liberal?
So
I say that with all the love in my heart.
My mother,
yeah,
excuse me, was a screaming liberal, diehard Democrat. She mm-hmm. was the president of the Young Democrats. She was a member of NOW, National Organization of Women.
Yeah.
She was the director of Planned Parenthood. What else did she do? She did the 1980 census. She ran Jim Hunt's campaign. She ran Lillian Wu's campaign. Okay. She was at Carter's inauguration, you know. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, she was... So at 8 years old, I knew more politically than I do now.
Wow.
Because I was going out and handing out the leaflets
yeah.
and talking to people. I could wow. tell you what every one of them stood for.
Well, can you give me a comparison of then versus now? The feeling, the mindset, the vibe, is it different? Is it the same? Has it always been this way? I don't feel like it's always been
no.
this hot.
So again, like at that time, so we're talking about late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. right? So late 70s, early 80s, I was a kid and I went to Billingsville Elementary School. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you know where that is. It's in Greer Heights, which is one of the
okay.
sure. Oldest African-American communities in Charlotte. It was 65% or so African-American. I mean, my mom did the clothing drive, you know, yeah. clothing swap, which like that is the coolest thing ever. And everybody went. And mm-hmm. so basically what happened was you gathered up all your clothes that you outgrew and you brought them in and you it was like a big garage sale, but you could swap,
mm-hmm.
right, instead of paying. And so she did that because there were kids coming to my school that didn't have clothes and that's not cool. But I do remember we lived on Heathwood, which is one ever from Mackaway. Well, I remember hearing neighbors talking about, well, if the black people keep coming this way, we're going to have to sell. So it was still there,
right.
but I felt like we were on the precipice of change and there was mm-hmm. so much hippy dippy stuff happening mm-hmm. and love everyone. And there were black people that came to my house. So I saw black people not only in school, but in my house. So it was not, you know, like, oh gosh.
Right.
And other people I would hear that from, mm-hmm. but it's like, no, that's not real. It's not worse or better. I think we're more aware. And that's unfortunate, but I think that that's where we are. No one is beyond bigotry or racism. Right. Everybody has some degree of it somewhere. You have a thought and then you go, ooh, gah, I didn't mean, ooh, I don't want to think that. And you skirt it away. But right. when you're raised in the South, because you hear those things all the time, mm-hmm. those thoughts still come into my big old left-wing liberal mind. And then I go, whoa, where did that come from? That's that. I don't want to own that. And that sucks, but it's what it is.
Do you feel that there's stuff on the liberal side, the left side, that is just as crazy extreme and irrational as what we tend to perceive on...
So I'll tell you from watching the, is it Nicole Wallace, I think is her name?
Okay.
I love her. And Rachel Maddow. They're constantly opining.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference is that they're actually owning that it's an opinion, not that it's fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you go to Fox or you go to One American News, they are not ever saying, this is my opinion. It's done as fact.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that bothers me the most about all of that is, and I said this on social media recently, whatever happened to truth in advertising?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to truth in the media and fact checking? The fact that we have a president who blatantly lies is a problem. And the right, when you say, well, what about that? What about the fact that he blatantly lies? What about the grab him by the pussy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They just want to, they swipe it under the rug because it's like, well, we don't want a politician. We want a real person. But your question was, is the left just as skewed as the right? I think that we've become so divisive that it's very difficult to I don't know. It's just very difficult to come together because when I look at somebody who's wearing a MAGA shirt, all I see is maggot. Because all I can think is, you know, you want to watch these kids in cages. And I'm putting all these labels on them when they may or may not think that. But it's so hard for me. Like, I don't love everything that Joe Biden does. He's a moderate, for God's sakes. Yeah. I'm a screaming liberal.
Yes.
So the Republicans should be happier with him than I am. But I'm okay. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm so glad that you said that. I have to believe that. I want to believe that the people wearing the MAGA shirt, that there's so much more to it than just that.
There is.
I put the box of Kleenexes there because, Lane, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to cry for the rest of the, you know, because that's how much this is affecting me and how emotional I've been about so much of it. Uh-huh. Is that I have to believe that there is so much more to each individual person and each scenario and each situation that I feel that we all are responsible to look past the t-shirt, to look past the red hat, not the guy who designed the slogan necessarily, but the people.
Right.
You know, and I understand and I feel the same way as you do at times where it's hard to look at, you know, people on the other side and not be able to see past that. And I'm trying like a motherfucker. And that's why I'm sitting here with you.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm sitting down with Mike. And that's why I want to sit down with other people because, damn it, we have to. We absolutely need each other. We have to exist with each other. We can't do it without each other.
Well, and some of it is about education, right? So when you are sitting down with your conservative friend, or as a conservative, when you're sitting down with your liberal friend, to have a clear, cogent conversation, transparent, completely transparent, that says, this is why I voted for this person. Why did you vote for that person? Tell me what about that person aligned with you and your core values, because that's where I have the big problem.
Sure. I understand that.
I mean, somebody who stands in front of me and says, I'm Christian and I voted for Trump. I'm sorry. Well, first of all, I don't align with Christianity, mostly because, I mean, I was raised kind of in it, but not really. I was baptized. But I don't fault somebody for believing that. I think spirituality is bigger than that, right?
Okay.
A book written by humans, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Right. If you go down to the history of it, it was all to, you know, to oppress people and to keep them into control for political reasons. That's what happened when the Christian and the Catholic Church split. Mm-hmm. I could go down a whole theological rabbit hole, and I'm not going to. But my point is, you cannot say that you are Christian and hate everybody.
Right.
Like, that's completely against the covenant. Like, what?
Right.
So I have a really hard time with that. And But there are churches, specifically evangelical churches, who are preaching that Trump is the second coming of Christ. Now, come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
That's whatever happened to the separation of church and state. And I don't understand. So I feel like there are some things that need to happen in our world that will help a lot. First of all, we need to take a look at that, at our Constitution, and make sure that it's solid.
Yes.
Because there are some holes in it.
You think?
A little bit.
I mean, because we were supposed to, wasn't the United States of America, wasn't America supposed to be a place of religious freedom?
It was.
Free from religion? Including freedom of religion?
And and every time you see a politician speak, they say, God bless America, God bless our state. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lovely sentiment, but also it just hammers in once again that we're still this religious, you know, and they mean God and Jesus. They don't mean God and Buddha.
Right.
You know, they're not open. Right. And so it makes me crazy, because if you look at our political landscape, there up until now, there haven't been very many Catholics.
Okay.
There haven't been very many Jews.
Okay.
They're all Christian. Mm-hmm. What is that? Like, it just doesn't even make sense. That's not all of the population. And I'm not trying to poo-poo Christianity. You worship what you want to worship. You believe what you want to believe. I believe in a higher power. I just don't put that label on it. I agree with a lot of the Bible, a lot of Christianity. Mm-hmm. I think it happened for me in college when one of the girls that was in my class would go out and party and do cocaine all night and then get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray and screw your boyfriend. I just don't think that's, I don't know. It just, like, the hypocrisy hit me hard and I haven't quite gotten over it. So that's where I am. But this wasn't a religious thing. The point, what I'm saying is that, like, what did you ask me? I went so far off the train. That
it was really, you know, going back a few minutes, it was the bottom line of
how to come back together.
Yes, because we need it. We need each other. We cannot exist, I don't think, And I think that we all have a responsibility to try and to be open to that.
Right.
And I mean, look, this is my teeny tiny podcast. It's the only platform that I've got,
yeah.
You know. And if I can use it to help,
right.
You know. Okay, so let me put it this way. Let me ask you this question then.
Sure, go ahead.
What is, in your opinion, the biggest misconception about liberals?
Oh, well, that we're socialists. That we want nobody to make more money than anybody else. And, you know, you work really hard, but you don't get to keep your money. You have to pay for somebody who doesn't work. That we're all going to sit around on welfare and, you know, breed.
Okay.
You know, but that's really not what's happening. I mean, I don't know about you, but my liberal friends all work really hard and earn their own money. And some of them are wealthy and some of them are not. And the wealthiest people I know give back and they're screaming liberals and it's okay. And they don't mind paying those taxes because they feel like that's their part to pay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the divide happens. I mean, I think, well, the divide happens because it happens. This is what we've already seen it happen. I think the coming together happens in the open conversations that aren't name calling. And I think we're all so damn sensitive mm-hmm. that it becomes, oh, you're name calling. So give you two examples.
Okay.
One, I posted on Facebook something about, you know, I say happy holidays because there are 19 other holidays that happen between November 1st and November 19th or something. I don't even know what all these holidays are. But the point is that I recognize that there's more than just Christmas. Right. I celebrate Christmas.
Sure.
It's fun.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the whole baby Jesus story is fun and it's beautiful. And I love, love, love sacred music. It makes me cry. It touches me to my core because there's something about people coming together and believing in something higher than themselves. And that is that moment of unification. But why does it have to be under a steeple? Why can't it be out in nature? Why can't it be right here, you and me, recognizing right. that, wow, we're part of something bigger,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. and that it's okay to love the parts about your neighbor that are lovable and to try to overlook the parts that aren't, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe slowly get in there and make a difference and open some eyes. And that goes both ways. So if a,
sure.
and I'm not talking about, I can't ever pronounce this word right. Proselytizing? How do you say that? Proselytizing?
Is it proselytizing?
I think it is. It's okay. When you go and try to get somebody to convert to your religion.
Oh, okay.
Oof, you know,
I've had
right?
that happen before.
Huh?
I've had that happen before.
Sure. Right. Yeah. But you know there's only one religion that does that.
I don't, but...
You'll never, ever have a Jew try to convert you. In fact, you have to try three times to be converted. You'll never have a Muslim try to convert you. It just doesn't happen. It's right. not it's not part of their language, mm-hmm. but it is part of... And this goes... Again, I don't mean to harp on that, but it's somehow tied to it. It's the idea that there's only one religion, that there's a superior religion, and that seems to also coincide with the right side mm-hmm. of there's only one superior race, there's only one superior political party. I mean, I think we have a major problem being two political parties anyway.
I appreciate you saying that. I had that on here as like, yeah, I'm wondering if the two-party system has failed, officially
well,
failed.
I mean, first of all, what I notice with my conservative friends mm-hmm. is that they vote Republican because their parents voted Republican. Mm-hmm. They vote Republican because, like, okay, so for instance, one of my friends is a female lesbian mm-hmm. single mother.
Okay.
And she's of a different culture.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, different nationality.
Yep.
Votes Republican. Has always voted a Republican ticket until Obama. Mm-hmm. And when I asked, how the fuck could you have voted for Trump? Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't actually say she voted for Trump last time, but I think she did. And this time, no, mm-hmm. I don't think she did.
Right.
But she said it was because of the money and because of the military. She said having a military allows her to lay her head on her pillow at night and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a misconception right there mm-hmm. that liberals want to take away the military. Liberals want to take away funding from the military. Mm-hmm. The defunding of the police doesn't mean taking away all the funds from the police. It means putting the funding towards training, rerouting the funding.
Right.
That's what it means.
Right.
And it was a very unfortunate choice of slogan.
Well, defunding the police.
Yeah,
yes.
That was
yes.
dumb.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry. And I know I go all over the map.
That's okay. You're a fucking treasure.
I'm human. You keep asking how we bring it back together. And I think the way that we bring it back together is to look at the common goals mm-hmm. as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I put my pants on one leg at a time.
Right.
I put my shoes on one leg at a time. You might put both pairs of socks on before you put your shoes on, or you mm-hmm. might put one sock and one shoe.
Right.
That's okay.
Sure. At the end of it,
you're both going to be dressed. Hopefully you're wearing a mask. Hopefully. And over your nose.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But, and that's another thing is that became politicized was the whole mask thing. And, I just feel like Trump has done a disservice to Republicans. And this is where I was going with telling you about my friend's voting record, mm-hmm. because he is not the Republican that they grew up with. That is not what he is. Now, this section of cultish people who are, Trump, 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 he rocks, and he's the one that won, mm-hmm. even when, we see everything
right.
very clearly, and the ones that think he's the second coming of Christ, those people have always kind of existed, but we called them Klansmen for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a broad generalization.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been there, and it's like my brother said, when you turn on the lights, you think you have no roaches, and you turn on the lights and you see them kind of scurrying around.
Right.
Right. Now we know who they are. They need to be deprogrammed from their cult, hopefully. But I don't think that everybody's there and in that extreme, and I do think that people are voting Republican for their issues, and they're voting Republican thinking that it's the same party as Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And which hits me on another thing real quick, and that was Truth in Advertising. When I asked the question about that, about whatever happened to Truth in Advertising, apparently Reagan wrote or signed off on some bill that took that away.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I can't remember. Somebody actually documented it on my question, but I've forgotten.
Okay.
Because I can't remember everything.
Okay. So maybe we have Reagan to blame for no longer having Truth in Advertising.
I don't know.
But that brings me to the flip side of that. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit then.
Sure, go ahead.
What do you think the biggest misconception is about conservatives?
Well, that they're all right-wing, Bible-thumping crazies, because they're not. They're not. They're people who have deep values or deep want of family values. And even though this president that we're currently, 59 days left of him, God help us, he's the one who got his second wife pregnant while he was still with his first wife. He's paid off hookers. I'm sure he's paid for abortions. He's had 26 allegations of rape, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All that stuff
right.
is they can overlook it because they're still looking at a Republican ticket
mm-hmm.
and they're not looking at the damage of this zealot.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at that. Mm-hmm. They're looking at, well, I'm a Republican. I want a Republican Congress. I want a Republican in office because that represents my values. And I think that the Republican Party has gone off rail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because there are a lot of really good conservatives who just have a difference that they actually have a difference of opinion, right?
I think differing opinions is great.
I do too.
Multiple viewpoints is necessary and needed.
Right.
And valuable.
I think core values is a different issue. And that's where families are falling apart because they're recognizing that individuals have different core values mm-hmm. than they do. And that's hard.
Would you, if you had your druthers, would you want everybody to be like us?
No.
Good.
No, 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 no. Because that is very much like saying that everyone should be a specific religion or no. God, I'd be boring. I'd hate being in a room with myself all the time. Because first of all, I talk all the time. I'd never let my other self talk. And no, I'm kidding. But no, there's value in everyone. And my mother taught me that there's value in every single profession, every single person. And, I think that you take the time to learn where the value is when you can. And sometimes you can't because they're screaming in your face. And that's when, for sanity's sake, you got to turn off the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You got to walk away from, whatever. this. So to give you a great kind of example of humanity, mm-hmm. I stopped at the gas station to get gas, and I actually paid cash, so I went inside.
Okay.
And this man's standing there, and he's holding the door for me. And he's not wearing a mask. But he's holding the door for me. Mm-hmm. And I said, thank you so much, but I'm social distancing. And he said, and instead of me thinking, and this oftentimes when I see somebody without a mask, I mm-hmm. think asshole, but he was so nice. And I don't think he did it on purpose. And as soon as I said that, he goes, oh my God, I came in here without my mask. I totally forgot.
Sure.
And I said, well, it's a different world. We're all trying to figure it out. And we laughed about it. There's the humanity, you know?
Yes.
It's
yes.
asking how the store clerk's doing. It's instead of saying, hey, dumbass, your mask is below your nose, mm-hmm. to say, ooh, your mask slipped. You know, right. I'm trying to protect you too. Your mask slipped. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right. Let me ask you one last thing, see what kind of an answer you give me, if any. No pressure. So say they put Lane Morris in charge of fixing this problem.
They would never do that.
What if they did?
Okay.
Tell me what you would like to do.
They're kind of dumb.
Well, I mean, I'm saying whoever yeah, the they
I get,
is.
I get what you mean.
Yes.
In charge of fixing the, oh gosh. Well, first of all, I would say that we need to fact check constantly. Mm-hmm. It is not okay for a politician of any caliber to stand up there and tell lies, period. Because people are looking, it's the same as having great example. You know, you can't have a minister up there telling lies. You can't have a teacher telling lies. It's abuse of power. That's where I would start. Like, fact check. You cannot stand here on your pulpit and tell lies. It's not okay. You can't say, oh, the virus is just going to go away. Watch, poof, it's going to go away. It's irresponsible, because then you have people who are following you and think that hanging on your every word. I grew up that the news was fact. If you wanted to know what was going on in the world, you turned on Dan Rather or, you know, Howard Cosell, and you watched them, and they told you, is that right, Howard
no,
Cosell?
No, Howard Cosell was
the sports guy. He was the sports guy. Yeah. Who was the one Walter who said, Cronkite. And that's the weirdest, that's who I was trying to think of. Damn, I'm old. So you turned on Walter Cronkite.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Barbara Streisand.
Sometimes Howard Cosell, because it was entertaining.
And Howard Cosell. Yes. Well, so anyway, you turned them on, and you watched them, and that was, you were getting the truth. You were getting, or at least we thought we were. Mm. We weren't getting a bunch of opinions unless it was an op-ed piece. What I see a lot is, and this comes down to social media too. Social media has exacerbated our problem, because there is no fact checking. I can go and post that the sky is green and no one will fact check me. The earth is flat. Dogs are cats. You know, right. Nobody's fact checking. And there's somebody who will look at that and go, well, Lane's so smart, I'm going to believe that. No, there's probably not. But you know,
right.
I mean,
right.
And that's how it starts. Right. You start with a couple of credible things. You throw in something that's not. Mm-hmm. But, hey, they were credible with this, so I'm going to believe them. They were, you know, the big thing with the Trump stuff is he made so much money. He's a good businessman with all of his bankruptcies mm-hmm. and his no money in the bank. But, you know, he's good. That's what they see.
Right.
And so I guess truth in advertising, truth in media, fact-checking, and I don't really know how that works with free speech. It doesn't,
right.
There's so many, this isn't a two-sided coin. This is a hexagonal cube, you know, or die. I mean, right. You can't have a hexagonal cube.
No, but I understand what you mean.
Oxymoronic.
I understand what you mean, though. Well, where do we go from here?
I mean, I guess it starts with our inner circle, you know, and our family. And I don't know if anybody's actually going home for the holidays. I know my holidays were canceled, and there are only five of us, but two are coming from Atlanta. I'm right. coming from here, and the other two are in Asheville. And mm-hmm. if my brother got COVID, it would ruin his business for at least a short term, yep. you know? And mm-hmm. so we're not going, but when we have these conversations, and my family is not a good example because we're all screaming liberals. Mm-hmm. But if you have conservatives in your family, if you have conservatives in your circle, then have those conversations. And also, there's not one size fits all. All Republicans don't believe the same thing, and all all liberals or Democrats don't believe, all Democrats are not liberal.
Right.
There are moderate Republicans too.
Sure.
I mean, it's really hard for me to fathom it, but yeah, they exist. And so have the conversations and ask the questions and ask questions of people who are different from you. Sit down with your black friends and ask how this feels.
And I'm going to ask all of us, if we can, to start to look past the t-shirt and look past the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lane, you know, I love you deeply. We've known each other forever, and I cannot thank you enough for sitting down and going crazy with me here and just trying this out. I don't know how this experiment is going to work, but I'm trying. We're trying. I'm hoping.
I hope you find somebody who has more opinions than I do.
I don't know if that's possible.
Well, and look, I mean, I want to give a closing note, and that is just to, you know, it is looking beyond the hat and it's looking beyond the t-shirt. It's looking into the eyes of that person and recognizing that whatever you believe as far as spirituality and religion, that somehow we are all connected.
And I want you to know that I'm going to be there for you no matter what. If your house is on fire and you disagree with me, I'm going to come over with my hose and I'm going to help you put it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stand in front of you if I can, right. You know.
Right. Thanks.
I love you, man.
I love you too. This has been Lane Morris talking with me on You May Have Seen Conversations for Change. Thanks so much for listening.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout out in the next episode.